Well, today we remember Muhammad Ali as probably the best boxer ever to step into the ring, but that was far from the case before his first heavyweight title fight, which took place 50 years ago this Tuesday. Former New York Times boxing journalist Robert Lipsyth spoke to us about the then underdog taking on the apparently unbeatable Sonny Liston. James Keating has the story.
He's one of the greatest athletes in history, a charismatic boxing legend.
This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny.
But in 1964, Muhammad Ali was still known as Cassius Clay, and even with a shot at Sonny Liston's heavyweight title, he was an unheralded, unknown underdog.
Nobody at the New York Times thought the fight would go more than a round. They didn't want to waste the time of a real reporter.
That's Robert Lipsyth, a young reporter at the Times sent to Miami to cover the match. He didn't know a lot about Clay, and what he did know wasn't exactly positive.
I did know that he was a 7-1 underdog. There was no chance in the world that he could win. He would probably get knocked out in the first round because Sonny Liston was an incredible, unbeatable thug. He was Grendel's mother. He had beaten everybody else.
Robert arrived in Miami and went to Clay's gym. There he got his first glimpse at the charisma of the boxer. He also bumped into a band from Liverpool on their first US tour.
It was the Beatles. And then suddenly the door burst open and there was Cassius Clay. It was the first time any of us had seen him. And he was huge and he was, you know, maybe the most beautiful creature on God's earth. There was some sort of magical charisma about him that I actually have never seen in another sporting figure. And he said, "Hello there, Beatles, let's go make some money." And they followed him out into the ring and they began to play. The Beatles lined up in a row. Cassius Clay tapped the first one. They all fell down like dominoes. It really looked like they were old friends having a great time.
In that room in 1964, with the Beatles and the man who would become Muhammad Ali, Robert was at the center of something bigger than the heavyweight championship.
You know, in a way, I think that the 1960s actually began that afternoon.
Clay appeared on the streets, on radio, and on television, promoting himself as the greatest, baiting Liston, saying he was too ugly to be a champion, predicting the round he'd win, and even reciting poetry.
Clay comes out to meet Liston, and Liston starts to retreat. If Liston goes back an inch farther, he'll end up in a ringside seat. Clay swings with a left, Clay swings with a right. Look at young Cassius carry the fight.
This attitude didn't exactly endear him to the American public.
There was a tremendous generational split between the people who wanted Sonny Liston to win, the older people, because he represented, as thuggish as he was, he represented the 50s and the way things were, and the grateful Negro athlete who was respectful to the old sports writers and to the establishment.
By fight night, the narrative of the bout was bigger than just boxing.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Miami Beach, Florida, Miami Beach Convention Hall.
Everything had led up to this one exciting night, and an arena, you know, filled with politicians and hookers and pimps, people who are out there, the walkers and talkers of the sporting world.
But when the two fighters met in the ring, the story took an unexpected turn.
Now I want a clean bout. When they order you to break, stop punching and step back.
It was this electric moment. Just before the fight starts, everything becomes hushed. The two fighters meet in the middle of the ring. At that moment, there was kind of a gasp because we noticed for the very first time that Cassius Clay was bigger than Sonny Liston. Then the bell rings, the fight starts, and everything in the world changes at that moment because Cassius Clay takes control of the fight. There's no question, he's the master. And suddenly Liston looks very old. And he was stumbling and he looked really very bad. And for the first six rounds of the fight, Clay was in total control.
And then it was over.
They might be stopping it. That might be all, ladies and gentlemen. Get up there, Joe.
Liston did not come out for the seventh round. He sat on his stool. There was a stunned sense in the arena. Because heavyweight champion of the world, you're supposed to die trying. You don't just sit there. And I think the only one who understood instantly that the fight was over was Cassius Clay himself. He was leaping and jumping around the ring. He went to the apron of the ring and looked down at us in the press row and said, "Eat your words. I'm king of the world. I told you I would win." The world had changed.
I must be the greatest. I told the world.
And things certainly did change after that. The Beatles, of course, took America by storm. Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali the following year. And Robert Lipsyth, whom you heard there, was made the main boxing writer for the New York Times. And somebody texts in to say there was a great documentary on RTE a year or two ago about Muhammad Ali's visit here. And they would love to see it again. Join us after the break when we'll be talking about three Irish poets of the Great War, as well as what newspapers in 1914 were saying about the poets of the day. Okay.